Let us turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 11, verse 29 and 30. Matthew chapter 11, 29 and 30. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let's have a word of prayer. Thank you, Lord, for giving this time to us. We praise you, we worship you. Lord, you are our shepherd. You are our refuge. You are our comforter. I praise you and worship you. Thank you for your cross and your death and the sacrifice you made on the cross of Calvary, through which we received the abundant life. I praise you and worship you. And bless this word, sanctify us. Lord, we ask your help today. Help me to utter your word. Enable us to hear your word, understand the word. We ask your Holy Spirit presence, and in Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. So, Jesus is calling here, is giving an invitation to everyone who is weary, tired, burdened. So he's calling to him to give his rest, his peace. That time, those days, the people were under the Pharisee law. They were burdened. They were put many laws to do, to implement. And they were tired and weary of those laws. But Jesus here, the other way, he's calling the people who are tired and weary to tell him that he's going to give them the peace. And his yoke, he says, the yoke, he says, is easy and light. So you know the yoke, that is the wooden beam which is used to put between the animals and they do the farming. It also resembles like a cross. So he's comparing both the things at the same time, the yoke and the cross. In Lamentations chapter 3, verse 27, the word says, "It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth." It is good for a man to bear at the young age. You know D.L. Moody is a preacher. One time, he completed his message, sermon, and then came back to his room. Then his friend asked him, "How many got saved today?" Then he replied, 3 and a half tickets. Oh, that friend thought it was 3 elder people and 1 young person. Then Moody said, "No, it is 3 young people and 1 elder person." His thought was, young people have more age to serve the Lord, and they can invest their energy, their strength, their wisdom more in the Lord. Yeah, that is true. Even the elder people can also serve the Lord more effectively It is not about the quantity, it is about the qualitative work that we do for our Lord. So it is also good for the young to bear this cross, this at the young age, because knowing the Lord is very blessed thing in one's life. You know, this world is now is very busy. The social media, it is making it more worse. People are confused. One news comes in social media, immediately another thing comes against to it. We can't understand what is truth, what is a lie. And the world is also becoming fast, instant, immediate, I want it, ready-made. So then you see there is no, we cannot wait for that, you know. There is no patience. People, if you cannot wait, then they become more aggressive. So they do all the weird kind of things. This is the yoke of the world. This is the yoke of the world. There is no peace in this world. There is a lot of confusion. You know, there are other types of yokes also. The businessmen, they have the yoke of money. The politicians, they have the yoke of power. The celebrities, they have the yoke of getting familiar or famous. There is a yoke of ego and pride. These are all the yokes of this world, which they don't give us the peace. And 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 and 15 says, do not be unequally yoked with whom? Believers and unbelievers? Righteousness and unrighteousness? Light and darkness? Christ and Belial? God and idols? Some, they are very busy, busy bodies. They are always busy, but they don't work for Lord. You know the word busy, B-U-S-Y? Maybe you are familiar with that word. Being under Satan yoke. They're busy, but they're not working for the Lord. These are the yokes of the world. And there is no peace. But here, our Lord, Jesus Christ, he gives us peace. The comfort, the easy and light weight yoke. You know, the yoke, you got two animals on both sides, oxen. So when we compare spiritually on the yoke, one side is we are there, the other side Jesus is there, carrying that yoke. So we are not alone in Christian life. Jesus Christ is always with us. He is beside us. Hebrews 13:5 says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He says, this word gives us a great comfort, a great peace in our hearts. He's always with us. He told Isaac, In Genesis chapter 26, verse 3, I will be with you. He told Jacob in Genesis 28:15, I am with you. And to Moses, he said in Exodus 3:12, I will be with you. And with Joshua, he said 1:5, I will not leave you nor forsake you. So a Christian life is not single. Our Lord is with us. It is like a marriage. A marriage cannot be married to a single person, cannot marry himself. Two people are required. So a Christian life is like a marriage, and it is not alone, our Lord says. And also the yoke, there is a burden on the yoke, and the burden is shared between Jesus and us. The burden is shared. Lord Jesus Christ, already he removed the burden of sin from us. He paid the penalty of our sin. He removed that heavy weight of sin. We are now free in Christ Jesus. And our day-to-day burden is also shared by our Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 55:22 says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. We have to learn how to, we are doing it, and we have to learn how to transfer our weight to the Lord. One woman was carrying her baggage on her head. This is back, I'm in India referring an illustration. So that woman was carrying her baggage on her head and waiting for a bus to come. And when bus came, she took her baggage on her head and deboarded the bus. Even after getting into the bus, she was standing, but she was not putting her weight or downloading that weight onto the bus. She was carrying that one on her head. And she got a seat to sit down. She sat, and still she was carrying the weight on her head. What is the benefit of this? Bus is there to carry the weight also, but she is not doing it. See, when we don't transfer our burden to the Lord, it is like we are carrying 20 kg of suitcase always with us, standing, sitting, sleeping. So our Lord says, cast thy burden upon me. You have a lot of plans for your future. You have a lot of plans for your family, for your studies, for your ministry. Who is a good planner? Are we or the God? God is a good planner, good designer. So if you give him our plan and put into the Lord's hand, it will be more perfect. It will come more perfect. So cast our burden unto the Lord so we may be relieved from this burden and we can enjoy our spiritual life. And often we feel like the world is unstable. We think that war can break any time. War can come any time. Or maybe another pandemic is going to come. Or we think like that, are we going to become sick in future? So we are anxious of our future. What is going to happen? So Lord says in 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your anxious upon the Lord, casting your burden, casting your anxious on the Lord, that gives us peace in our hearts and rest for our souls. This is the work when we are under the cross, under the yoke of Jesus Christ. And also, when we are under the yoke together with Christ, we walk together, we talk together, and we do fellowship together with Jesus Christ. This is a great blessing. One brother used to pray like this: Lord, unite us in your Son's death, burial, and in resurrection. Unite us. So we are all united into his death, into his burial, and into his resurrection when we are under the yoke of Jesus Christ. You know, the salvation, when we accept our Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we are saved. We receive salvation. This is the work done inside our hearts. When we proclaim this to the outside world, we witness in the waters of baptism. This is the immersion, the union in his baptism, in his death. So we are all united in his death, burial, and resurrection. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 and 15, we see, I am not reading the full verse, but there is one word in the middle, that if one died for all, then were all dead. One died for all. So with human reasoning, we cannot explain this. How, if one person dies, how come all are dead together? It is like a people, group of people who are sick. Let us assume. And in that group, only one person takes the medicine. Does it mean that all are taking medicine? No. I'm relating to that reasoning. Group of people who are hungry. If one person eats food, will that mean everybody in that group had eaten the food? No. So God's word is beyond our comprehension. Sometimes we cannot explain with our reasoning, but it is true. But it is true. When David killed Goliath, was the victory for only David or for the whole Israel? When David killed Goliath, the victory was for full Israel kingdom. So Lord Jesus Christ, he did the same thing for us. He died for us so that we are all dead. Dead to sin. And alive in God. So in Colossians chapter 2, verse 12, we read, buried with him in baptism. We are buried with him in baptism. Normally, who will be buried? the dead people, right? Only the dead ones. And who should tell that this person is dead? Can the dead person tell I am dead? Cannot tell. So others should tell that this person is dead. Suppose, if the dead person comes back to life, what happens? We think he is dead, but still he is not dead, he is coming back. One more illustration I'll tell you. One person was taking a coffin box in a truck. Backside behind the truck, the open top truck. He was taking to other place. So after some time it started raining. It was empty coffin box. So what he thought, I want to hide for some time from this rain. So he went inside the coffin box and closed the door. And after some time, two more people got into the truck. And they saw this coffin box and they thought maybe somebody taking this to other place. Then after a few minutes, the rain stopped. The person inside that coffin box tried to open it, the door. Then the two other people in that same truck saw this and then they got frightened, jumped out of the truck, running truck. So it is like this. When a dead person is coming back to life, it will have serious consequences to others as well. So when we are united in death with Jesus Christ, we are dead to sin. And we don't respond to the sin. Now, in Mark Gospel, chapter 8, verse 34, we see whoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So when we are under the yoke of Jesus Christ, we have to deny ourselves. It's a self-deny. So there is no I in self-deny. So there's a big I. Who said, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the God. Lucifer. I. Lucifer was proud. So this I should be laid aside. This I should become big zero when we are under the yoke of Jesus Christ. Self-deny. Self-deny. So when there is self-denial, so we are taking up the yoke. Lord Jesus Christ himself, he took the cross. He denied himself. From where? He was equal unto God. And he left all the reputation. He became like a servant in the form of man. Humbled himself unto the death on the cross of Calvary. He denied himself and took the cross upon himself. So it is, yoke is like a cross. Laying aside the alphabet I, laying aside the ego and the pride, and also it is allowing the will of God in our life. This is actually the truth of the death of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. We heard this morning the death, how it impacted in our lives. It is death, and also it is our death united in Christ Jesus. And self-denial, and also allowing the will of God in our life. Allow the will of God, that is the important thing. If you see the will of God, if it is a straight line going to top, the will of God is a straight line. Our will always will be horizontal, perpendicular to that, going across, cutting the will of God. That is the meaning of cross. We have to deny ourselves, let go of our will, and allow the will of God in our life. That is the impact of cross, the impact of yoke. You know, Jacob and Joseph. Joseph, he brought his two sons to Jacob to bless them. The Manasseh, the elder one, the Ephraim, the younger one. So he brought two sons to Jacob so that Jacob can bless Manasseh with the right hand, with his right hand, and Ephraim with his left hand. He brought them to Jacob to bless him. You remember what Jacob did? He crossed his hands and blessed them. Oh, Joseph didn't like this. It is against his will, Joseph's will. Joseph want Manasseh to be blessed with Jacob's right hand. But Jacob blessed him with his left hand. And he's telling, it is written that Joseph was displeased because his will is not done there. And he's telling his father, "Father, this is not correct. Please correct yourself. Bless Manasseh with your right hand." He's the elder one. He's the right. Jacob refused him. "My son, I know it. So always the will of God goes across our will of our life. This we have to allow in our life. Accept it. The will of God. Understand the will of God. Allow the will of God in our life to receive the blessing of God. Sometimes some believers, they tell God also, "Lord, this is not correct. Please change your plan. Please change your will." No, God is always right. He is a perfect planner for our life. So this is the work of cross. This is the work under the yoke of Jesus Christ. So this is the work, like we have to accept the will of God. Jesus did that before going on to the cross of Calvary. He said, it is thy will, not my will. After accepting the will of God, he was ready to do. He was ready to go for the cross willfully, willingly. And he showed complete obedience. If we don't accept the will of God in our life, we may not be able to show complete obedience. Half obedience is complete disobedience. So we have to accept the will of God in our lives. To accept the will of God in our lives, we have to be honest with God. We have to be truthful with the God, with the Lord. See, when we go and meet a doctor, we have to tell clearly what is our problem. We cannot hide. Unless we tell what is our problem, doctor won't be able to treat you well. When we see attorney, a lawyer, or a police, we have to be truthful to file correct information and win that case. Otherwise, we will lose it. It applies the same thing with our Lord. We have to be one-to-one relation to be honest and truthful. This is the first thing we do when we allow the will of God in our life. The will of God is not a highway. We can see for 5 miles, 10 miles long. It is like you climbing a mountain, taking turn. You have to wait and see what is going to be the next turn. That is the will of God. Daily. Daily you have to allow to show complete obedience. It is like this, when you go and see a barber, hair cutting salon, when you sit in the chair, you have to cooperate with him, whatever he tells you. Even if he is a Supreme Court judge, a governor of a state, or the president of this country, the barber may push his head forward, sideways, backwards. You have to obey. Like when you see, you buy a new clothes and go to a tailor to make you a shirt and a trouser. He takes the new cloth and he will cut it into pieces. Can we say, please don't do that? No, no, stop it. Don't cut my clothes. It's new clothes. Unless he cuts it, he cannot make a shirt. He cannot make you trouser. Same way, the vineyard keeper, he removes unwanted branches from us. Why? To make more fruitful. So, the work of the Lord is a painful experience. The will of God working in our life, even though it is displeasing us, it's a painful experience for us. But for us to grow in the Lord, that helps us to become more fruitful. Until you come into the conformation of his image. You know the sculptor who makes statues? He takes rock. He makes statue. He removes all unwanted things until it becomes a statue of liberty. Sometimes it is painful experience for us. The will of God working us, it is the same way. When we understand the will of God, and when we allow the will of God in our lives, so we are ready to do the work of the Lord, to serve the Lord freely. Like in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 15, we see, I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. This is going one more step ahead, above. Accepting the will of God, and then you're ready to serve the saints, minister the saints. He says, uses the word in KJV that addicted to the service of God. That means without that they cannot live. They are so much used to that. Devoted their lives. That is the main purpose of their life. When we don't understand the will of God, the work of Lord in our life, we won't be able to go to that level. Something is stopping us. Maybe half obedience. Something is not pleasing us. The serving the Lord, ministering the saints, it is a step above, a spiritual step above. Addicted means spiritually you are tuned to serve others. There is no self-denial. There is deny self. You look for others, their needs, and serve them. How Lord Jesus Christ, when he prayed that the Lord's will to be done in his life, then he died for others on the cross of Calvary. He saved many people. This is the work of cross that removes the I in us, addicted to the service of the saints. One brother at the young age, Brother Bhakt Singh, I'll tell you, for the glory of God. He studied in Canada, completed his engineering degree, 2 degrees here. Then he knew the Lord here itself. Then after knowing the Lord, he never tried to do any job. He decided to go back to India and serve the Lord. After he landed in India, and when he was in a train station, his parents came to meet him, and they know that he is now converted to Christianity. They don't like this, and they told Bhakt Singh, leave this God. Don't serve this God. You come to us, we'll take care of you. Leave this God, because our community will not accept this God. You know what he said, Bhakt Singh? He is my breath. How can I stop breathing without him? He is my breath. Then he served the Lord freely and established many churches. This is the will of God. When you know the Lord, you break the chains. You are free to serve. One brother prayed, we don't want to be free. We want to be servants of your love. If you know the love of God, you will not sit quiet. You will not sit quiet. You will serve the Lord 100%. Preach Him, proclaim Him. Praise His glorious name. Nothing in this world can stop us. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for this time you've given unto us. We praise you, we worship you. We magnify your glorious, amazing name. Lord, sanctify this word. Lord, we may understand, we may grow in you, we may be profitable for you, Lord. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Amen.